Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is supported by the team at NZ Audio Editors. For all your editing services, you can find us on the World Wide Web at www.nzaudioeditors.com.
Welcome to Rocking Midlife, the podcast show that is here to encourage you that your second chapter in life can rock. My name is Kat Coluccio. I'm your host, and in each episode, I will be joined by some amazing people who have chosen to rock their midlife years and beyond. So if you're looking down the barrel of midlife and wondering if your best years are behind you, this podcast is just for you, so make sure that you subscribe. Want to continue the conversation? Join me in my free Facebook group, Rocking Midlife, or find me at katcoluccio.com, where I have some fabulous free giveaways to encourage you that it is never too late to have a new beginning in life. But for now, let's rock.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Rocking Midlife podcast. Whether you're listening in or watching us on YouTube, please make sure to hit that like button and subscribe and share it out so that others get to hear this amazing guest that I have here today. So I want to welcome, before we go any further, Cherie Clark. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so excited to be here. So before we get going, I'm just going to read this little comment about, just gives you a little glimpse of who Cherie might be. As a midlife courage coach, which is such a cool term, I believe it takes guts to live the second half of your life for you. I help women to identify and reach goals that they may have set aside, as well as any new aspirations they may have. Now, I love this because it's so close to my own mission too. And when Cherie and I first connected about a month ago, it was just like instant love. So Cherie, tell us where you're tuning in from and tell us a little bit more about you.
I am coming to you smack from the middle of the United States. I am in Des Moines, Iowa. And Des Moines is the capital of the state of Iowa. It's an agricultural state. It's the biggest city. And it is landlocked. and today, the day that we're talking, it is cold and we're having a cold snap, but the people are warm and friendly and I'm in a good mood. So it's a good place to be.
Oh, that's so cool. Before we pressed record, Cherie was telling me that it's actually snowing there, which is, yeah, this world's so amazing because I'm standing here sweltering in summer in my little office and she's there with the snowflakes going outside. Don't you love technology?
Well, what I love is that pretty soon we'll be flip-flopped and I'll talk to you when you're wearing a sweater and I've got flip-flops on.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And one thing about Australians and New Zealanders, we don't actually do central heating. Like that's quite a prestigious thing to do type thing, you know. So most of us come our winter, even though we don't get the snow that you get, not up where we are in Auckland, we just tough it out. We freeze, basically. Oh.
Well, I'll pick my time when I come to visit.
Yeah, do so. Trust me, do so. You'll want that. So tell me, what does it mean? What is a midlife courage coach?
Well, as you indicated, Kat, when I say it takes guts to live the second half of your life for you, I sometimes will add when you've lived the first half for everybody else. Oh, and when I say that, women in particular at this point in our lives understand that concept because we have done so much for so many others.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I do when I start working with women is we take an inventory of all of the roles that you have, especially in even just a snapshot of the current life. So for example, one role that everybody listening has is that you're an offspring. You have parents.
Yeah.
And and just by virtue of being here. And sometimes that's a complicated thing because you have more than one set of parents. If there was a divorce, or if you were adopted, or if you have whatever, different parental relationships, that is a role and that comes with responsibility. That
yeah, it role. Does.
And so there are so many other roles that we have, spouse and parent and employer, employee, best friend, volunteer, all of those things. And with each of them comes a duty or a commitment. And we start in my work, in my world, looking at that and taking an inventory so that at least if nothing else, you can say, oh, holy cow, no wonder I feel tired. Look at my job.
That's so true. And it's, you know, we are so in sync because I've just about finished the first draft of my next book in the 21 Hacks series. And this one's going to be 21 Hacks to Rock Your Midlife. And I talk about exactly that, the amount of roles that we've had as women once by the time we get to midlife serving other people. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, you know, we served our children and raised our children and, you know, did what we need to do in our households and with our partners and then working for our bosses and everything. But midlife really is a time when we kind of stop and go, what now, isn't it? Do you find many women sort of come to you with that whole, like, what do I do with myself now? Who am I? And what do I do next?
Certainly, especially when you think about it, when a major role is complete, let's say empty nesters, you've yes. launched your kids and now you no longer have that, or you were caretaker for parents and your parents have passed.
Yeah.
You were a spouse and the marriage ended in a dissolution, or you're a widow. You know, when your roles have changed, sometimes by your own design, but oftentimes not,
yeah.
there's a moment, a come to Jesus moment, where you say to yourself, what do I do now?
Yeah.
And that's a great place to be. I mean, it doesn't feel like a great place to be, and it doesn't sound like a great place to be. But here's the thing,
but
just being
is.
Able to ask that question yeah. puts you in the driver's seat.
Absolutely. Did you have a moment like that yourself? Because I know that I certainly did.
Oh, I've had a few.
Your moment.
Yeah. So one of my big ones was, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I have owned businesses since I was 28 years old. And one that I owned was a successful advertising agency. And I had owned it for 25 years. And so I was 53. And if anybody's trying to figure out the math, I'll make it easy for you. I'll be 65 this year. So I've had a few.
Hang on. Say that again. You're 65 this year.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So people listening to the podcast, put your earbuds down now and go to YouTube and have a look at this lady. You look so vibrant. You look amazing. And it's not about long hair, which you have beautiful long hair. It's about you have so much energy and excitement and vibrancy and wow. Okay. I got a new role model. Keep going.
Thank you. Well, and we can come back to vitality and that type of thing, because that's an important topic for at this point in life. So when I was owning my advertising agency and I came to that point, that moment in time, nothing happened to it or to me. What happened was that I realized I wasn't getting the joy out of it anymore. That after 25 years, I started to feel less like I was running the show and more like the show was running me.
Oh, yeah.
And I had the Sunday night blues. And I don't know if that's a phenomenon that you talk about in your country, but here in the US, it's a real thing. Sunday night, when you've got to go back to corporate America,
yeah.
Monday morning, a lot of people get into the drinking or they're depressed or they call in sick. It's a thing.
Yeah.
And I had it, but I owned the company.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah. So that was my take stock moment.
Yeah.
And I ended up leaving. So.
Wow. Yeah, mine, which I've written about a few times, was when I was 43. That was my first one because, like you mentioned too, it's continual, isn't it? You're always evolving and reinventing and everything. But my first real come to Jesus moment, like you, was when my daughter, I can picture it so clearly. I was sitting out on our deck with my daughter, and the last 6 years, I'd actually homeschooled my two teenagers because they were traveling the world with their sports because they were both quite elite, you know, standard with what they were doing. And as I sat there next to her, she was opening university acceptance after university acceptance. She had all these offers and she was so excited and we were so proud of her. And deep inside me was this huge, oh, heck, I'm redundant now. What do I do now? And that was the moment for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it about years that end in three? If anybody's listening and you're, you know, 43 or 53 or, you know, maybe eight. It just seems like there are certain years and certain times of our life that just are ripe for that. And you think it's not going to happen to you and you're going to escape it. Oh, no, I'm not going to get a divorce in my 40s.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not going to, you know, whatever it is. And sometimes we find out that, holy cow, I got dealt that hand too.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a number of friends that I've seen go through that very thing. And it's, yeah, midlife is just, it's like a roller coaster, isn't it? Because you're dealing with all these life events, like you mentioned before, you know, your parents are aging, you may be having to look after them or they may have passed on. So you've got all the grief and all the, you know, trying to work out who you are now without them in your life. And then this whole world ahead of you of what's next? What's next? And I know so many women, I say it exactly like you do. So many women are either going to dig up that dream that they put aside while they were serving everybody else, or if they're brave, they start dreaming again and think about what could I do?
Well, you know, when you were saying the pressures that are on us, you know, and the changes, the other part of it, I think, is urgency.
Yes.
And especially at this point in life, my mother passed at the end of last year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And there's that, when that, something like that happens, there's that moment of the whole realization of your own mortality.
Yeah.
And the looking at, if I'm going to do whatever this thing is, it needs to happen now. And this thing can be change a career, get in or out of a relationship, whatever. But it could also be something less magnificent, if you will. It could be something as simple as start taking care of your body and your heart if heart disease runs in your family.
Yeah.
Or start being serious about fill in the blank, whatever it is. If you know your drinking has maybe gotten into the out of the gray zone and into the red, dealing with those kinds of things. And there's a real pressure on us for that.
That's a great point to make, because I know we often look at the big, amazing midlifers who started out their amazing businesses, like, you know, the Vera Wangs and the Martha Stewarts and all of them, and go, look at these people, look what they've done starting at midlife. But that in itself can be overwhelming for the average woman who, like you said, their big moment might be, actually, I need to take care of myself now. And going forward, that's going to be my thing. So it doesn't have to be world-changing. It might be as simple as that, or as simple as, actually, I'm really going to determine in this next season to make some really close girlfriends and lean into that, because I know loneliness is such a big part of midlife too. I love that. So what are some of the keys, some of the tips that you tell your clients? I mean, I know there's so much, but what are a couple of the real strong, pertinent tips that you might tell your people?
Well, one of them is to not should all over yourself, because we get into that. And, you know, that tends to be a lifelong thing, particularly, again, women, caretakers, perfectionists. We can spin all the plates, you know, bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan and never let you forget you're a man. You know, that was a commercial that was popular here in the U.S. in the 70s. So we have that. So that's one part of it. And the other part of should is measuring yourself by someone else's yardstick.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I see a ton of the pressures of, well, she did this and I know I should keep working, but I want to retire. honey, if you want to retire and you've got the wherewithal, why would you keep working?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you pursue the things that you want to pursue? And so I think that that would be a first place to start is don't should on yourself.
Yeah, that's brilliant. You're talking too about, you touched on your comparing too. Do you think social media is a bit of an issue there, even for midlife women? I know what I think. I'd love to hear what you say.
Yes, it is. And so we have FOMO too, fear of missing out, just like the kids do, you know, looking at things. Of course we do. And you know, it's hard to not, and it's understandable. And I'm not saying that we should even necessarily try, because sometimes that's also incentive. It can be incentive. If I see someone doing something and I know I'm capable of it, but I've been kind of, you know, letting myself off the hook a lot, I might say, well, you know what, darn it, if she can do it, I can do it. So in that regard, it plays a good role. But there's also a thing I call joy of missing out.
Yes.
And sometimes, and to be frank with you, there have been some good things about this pandemic. Now, the heartbreak and all of the other economic devastation, notwithstanding, in some regards, it's been nice to not have to say yes to every damn thing that's offered to you.
Absolutely. Yes. I hear you.
You feel it too?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I'm grateful. I'm grateful sometimes that I don't have to make up a story about Friday night and why a bowl of popcorn and a movie sounds like a darn good idea to me. You know,
it's so true. Yeah. I hear you. It's the same down here. I mean, like you said, we know how devastating it is, but it's also caused people to pause, hasn't it? And actually go, actually, how was I living? Do I want to keep living like that? And it's given them that chance to kind of have that time of reflection. And yeah.
And I hope that the changes last. For example, I used to eat out in restaurants, not because I can't cook. I taught cooking. I'm good in the kitchen. But I have a lot of friends and I'm single. And so I'd go out to eat with my friends, and that's what we did. We went out for drinks or we went out for lunch, and we can't do that now. We're still shut down. And I don't know what anybody listening's situation is, but I've only ordered carry out, and we're coming up on a year here in the US where we've had our lockdown.
Yeah.
I've ordered carry out or delivery 5 times in 1 year. That's not very much.
Yeah.
Which means I have been doing all of my own food preparation at home, which I got to tell you is a hell of a lot healthier and better on my pocketbook. So, you know, there's good things about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally hear you. So tell me a little bit more about the courage concept. What do you say to women to help them, you know, lean into that courage?
Well, the first, we've talked a little bit about the should thing. So that's a big part to have off the table. Yeah. That's part of it. The other thing is I suggest that what we do is we start looking at our own histories, look at our own patterns. That just like when you have a computer issue and you've got a lot of things and maybe you uninstall the software and then you reinstall it and all of the settings have gone back to default. We have a default too. And we have default behaviors and default ways of being. And when we can identify those and realize whether or not they've served us or not served us and in what ways, then we can make adjustments, tweaks, modifications to that way of being. But it isn't until we start looking at our own past and our own history and our own, the lives that we've crafted for ourselves up until this point, and say, you know what? Part of the reason why I'm in the pickle that I'm in right now is that I don't make decisions rapidly. I sit on them. And by the time I make the decision, the opportunity is gone.
Yeah.
That's a sad thing to realize, but damn, it's a good thing to realize because then you can nip it in the bud.
Yep.
Or if there's some other behavior, if one behavior that you have is that you have to check in with everybody else because you can't make the decision on your own, good to know that. Then you're in the driver's seat. You can decide to stay on that course if you want to, or you can decide that maybe there's another way of doing this. And then once again, you're empowered to decide, well, if I'm going to do it a different way, what does that way look like? So looking in the rearview mirror is important in terms of knowing what you want to be in the windshield.
I love that expression. Can you just say that again? I think we need to get a quotable quote out of that. Say that again.
I think that looking in the rearview mirror is important in terms of being able to frame up what you want to see in your windshield.
That is fabulous and so true. I do an exercise, which I'm sure you probably do with people, like, you know, the wheel of life, that Zig Ziglar one. And you know, we create a whole life audit out of it. And it's such a brilliant way, isn't it, of stopping, looking where your life's at now, looking what your past is, and then taking the time to go, well, actually, I don't want to do that going forward, or I do want to do that. But so many people kind of don't take that time to stop and look at their lives like that, do they? And that's where, you know, midlife is great, because often, like we've said, that's the big crossroad that you kind of smack into. It's like, oh, I've got a choice. I can just keep doing whatever and drifting through life, or I can do these things, or look at my past, look at my patterns, look at my actions.
Yeah, and that's a good reason to do things like journaling as well, to be able to process those thoughts and feelings. You know, clearly both you and I would say the best way and place to process your thoughts and feelings is with a coach.
Yeah.
Because you can have someone who is invested in your success, but doesn't have a horse in your race, you know?
I love that. You've got some great sayings, girl. Seriously. That's a good one too.
But it's so true. Think about it. When you're trying to make a big decision and you go to a friend for support, if the decision affects you in a way that might affect that relationship, it's really hard for that friend to be objective. If you're looking at taking another job that would require you to move 3,000 miles away from your friend can be objective up until a point.
Absolutely.
If it were me, I'd say, no, I think it sounds like a bad job. You know, I mean, who wants to say goodbye to a friend? So there's always that kind of underlying current and the whole kind of competing priorities, where with a coach, what we really want is what you really want. And I think that there's something about that, that people who haven't had coaching before can't really appreciate.
Yeah. That's so true. I know the best times that I've ever made any type of transformation, whether that was in the gym years ago or in my own life, is when I invested in a coach. So, you know, I used personal trainers at the time. You know, I've used business coaches. I've used life coaches. And it's exactly what you said. It's that neutral person who isn't going to bring their own subjective thoughts into it. They're reflecting you and wanting the best for you based on, you know, what's coming out of you. So powerful. And I'm getting so excited. My brain's going crazy here. That's what it's like when you talk to me. My head goes so far ahead of the mouth sometimes.
I can see you blowing up, your hair blowing up. Yeah.
That's basically it. Talking about coaching and working with women and getting that stuff out of them so that they can start making choices. This is a real left field question I'm going to ask you here. Do you find differences between your extroverted women and your introverted women?
Oh, gosh, yeah. One of the things that's interesting is that there are some that think they're one and actually are the other, or there's some that you might think are some. Like, I'll give you an example. Most people who know me, including my friends, would say she's an extrovert. I mean, and it's true. If you put me into a social situation, drop me in the middle of a cocktail party, I'll find some friends or introduce people or, you know, whatever. But I refuel by being an introvert.
Mm.
And that, I think, is an important thing to recognize.
Yes.
So to understand that I can be the life of the party. Absolutely. And I'm not saying that to be braggadocious. I'm not afraid to go up and talk to strangers or have a conversation about something I may not even know anything about. What the hell? Let's bring it on. But I need alone time to recalibrate, re-energize.
Yep.
And I suspect you might be the same way, because we're high energy and we attract people. And then you get to a point where you're giving, 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 giving. And then you finally are like, I'm depleted.
Yes.
I need to refuel. Is that for the same for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm actually a real introvert in real life. But at the same time, you know, I've been a performer most of my life as a professional musician. But and people don't understand that because they see you bouncing around on the stage or speaking in front of people or, you know, recording live online like this, but they don't see the person who then goes home and just can't talk to anybody and needs time out and doesn't answer messages. And it's a really powerful thing to learn about yourself, I think, because it helps you then put the right boundaries to make the right decisions and go forward with this second half of your life, like you said before, in the driver's seat.
Yes, and to not have shame about it.
Yes.
To not feel like, oh, well, I should. You know, earlier when we were talking about Friday night and a bowl of popcorn and, you know, curling up in front of a movie, there was a time in my life, because I've been like that for a bit, for it's not a recent thing. It's like even in my 20s when, you know, there were times that I missed going to rock concerts because the idea of being in an arena with 3,000 people after having had a week like I had had, I was like, oh my God,
yeah.
Even in my 20s, I
hear you. I hear you.
I don't want
I'm
to
happy
do that.
To be on the stage where I'm task oriented playing.
Right.
I don't think I've ever stood in a mosh pit or in a big concert in the audience. Just can't do it.
It's not about claustrophobia or germophobes or any of that. It's just it's depleting. And New Year's Eve parties, I've never liked them. You know, like that kind of thing. I would rather have a dinner party. Give me four people at a table, candlelight, and a vibrant
great conversation. Yes.
Yes, exactly. So it's that. It's knowing, and the coaching part of it, which was your original question, the coaching of people, it's helping them to understand, recognize, and embrace where they get their refueling and their energy and where their joy comes from.
Yeah.
That is where the coaching part comes. It's in not denying yourself those things that keep you stable and vibrant.
Love it. Yeah. That's so, I know, sorry to take you out there on that one, but I just think that's so powerful. I know when I finally found out about introversion and extroversion, it was a number of years ago now, it was like a weight lifted off me because it's like, oh, I am okay. It's all right. You know, in my 20s, I do things, but I just need time out. And the thought of going to big concerts, couldn't do it. Could play in them, but couldn't go attend them as someone who didn't have something to do and be focused on. And I even remember as a kid, you know how, you know, the friends used to come, this is many years now, but, you know, the neighborhood kids would come to the door and knock and so-and-so come out and play with me. And I'd often say no, because I just wanted to read a book on my own. You know, it was just that recharging thing. Yeah,
exactly. Hammocks. I love a hammock in the summer with a good book. It's wonderful.
Oh,
and even being in communion, like being next to someone in a hammock, both of you reading, that's bliss.
Oh, and yes.
And then you can interrupt the other person and say, hey, listen to this. And then you read them a quote and they acknowledge it. And then you both go back to what you're doing.
Get back to it.
That is heaven. But
we need to hang out, girl. We need to find somewhere midway when the travel bubbles open. We can sit there in silence with each other.
And we'll find some book that we can then swap when we're done reading them.
Absolutely. Oh, I love it. So, Cherie, I know you've got an amazing website. I've actually got it pulled up here and I've been having a look through it. And you've got so much great stuff there. But I know that you mentioned that you've got a free gift. So could you tell us a little bit what that is, please? And we'll make sure all of your links are here with the show notes and on the YouTube station.
Absolutely. I did. And what I did for the free gift was I actually even printed it out. So if you're watching the video connected with this, I'll show you what it is. This is a journal scrapbook and I printed it out on two pages, and what it is, it's really fun. I love the concept of journaling and I love self-exploration. I love looking inside and seeing what makes myself tick. And this is a little platform, a little bit of some prompts, really easy to do. And you just write down some things that kind of get you thinking. Yeah. And if I've done my job properly, then your thinking will lead to more thinking, which will lead to other things. And so it's never just one question. It's like those Russian dolls, you know, there's one inside of another inside of another. So that is my gift to you. And I understand you're going to be giving the link for that.
I will be. Thank you so much. That sounds fabulous. I'm going to be downloading it myself straight after this. So, Cherie, thank you so much for being with us. I just love your energy, love the connection, and I love the fact that we're so in sync with our messages. And, oh, I need to mention too, because for people listening, because this will go out pretty soon within the next month or so, so we're in February at the moment, but the way that we actually both connected was Cherie reaching out to me to be part of an interview series that she is doing. So I'm going to pop the links for those too. Could you tell us quickly what that's about, please?
Yes, absolutely. So a couple of times a year, I host an interview series and I interview experts on topics that have interest to women at midlife. And so sometimes it's the usual suspects, you know, we might talk about hormones and divorce and retirement savings, but other times we'll talk about other like kind of ancillary topics. We might talk about our relationship with alcohol, our relationship with our companion pets and animals, because very often when you're an empty nester, you know, you've got the dog or the cat, that's and huge. That's very much a part of your family, or caretaking and different things of that nature. So the interview series that's coming up that you'll be a guest on is airing in May. The registration for that will be open soon. You'll give the information for signing up for that. But if people are interested in the meantime and want to reach out to me, just drop me an email. Kat will give you that a way to reach me, and I'll make sure that you're on the guest list for that.
That's brilliant. Thank you. I mean, for everyone who is listening, go grab Cherie's resources. I have resources listed as well. So at least if you're on one of our mailing lists, you'll definitely get all the details, because I will be advertising that series as well. So final comment, Cherie, what is one gem that you would like to leave to these midlife ladies who are listening in, putting you on the spot here?
No problem. Whatever it is that you're thinking right now, whatever mind thought bubble popped into your head during this conversation was a prompt. It was, there's a reason that you're here, that you heard whatever it was you heard today that created or stirred an emotion within you. Act on that. That is a signal. That is a sign. That is a reason why you're here today. So act on it.
I love that. Thank you so much. It's just been fabulous having you here, and I'm looking forward to chatting to you later on for your midlife interview series. So thank you so much, Cherie Clark. So everybody, thanks again for listening in and listening to this amazing lady's wisdom. Make sure you go grab her resources, go through those links. Please hit and subscribe and share out this episode so that our midlife voices are out there being heard. And women in particular can be reminded that their midlife can rock. See you next time.
Thanks for joining me on the Rocking Midlife podcast. If you've been inspired by today's episode, please make sure to share and leave a review on iTunes so that more people can be inspired to rock their midlife. Remember too, you can get my free giveaways or contact me at katcoluccio.com. I would love to hear from you.